or on a workplace or in an office building or ministry at church, wherever you are, God wants to use you to make a difference. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? Growth is not an option. Do you agree with me? Growth is not. We expect growth in everything. You know, we expect growth in plants and in, you know, our children, everything, our income. We always want to grow our own personal development, our education. We always want to grow. Growth is not an option. And if you want to be a strong, healthy, growing child of God, then growth is definitely not an option. Then growth is a requirement. And so for the person who wants to be used by God, who wants to be in a healthy, dynamic, personal relationship with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit operating in their lives, growth then is a requirement. You must grow. Unless you're like some people I know who do not want to grow, they want to just stay children all their life. No, that is not for us. It's not for our spiritual lives. Growth is a requirement. And this leads me to my first point, required growth. Paul tells us in his letter to the Thessaloniki. What is that in English? How do you say Thessaloniki? Thessalonians, that's it. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Wow, what great words from Paul. Now, we all agreed that we all expect growth. And for growth to happen, usually we need a good environment, especially if you're talking about a plant. You need a good soil, you need enough water, not so much wind, not so much resistant, and then growth will happen. And it will happen in a very, very good way. But this church, he's talking about that they're growing during persecutions and trials. This counteracts the our ideal settings for growth. And that's sometimes we do it in our spiritual lives. We want everything to be perfect in order for us to grow in our relationship with God. And here Paul tells us about this church, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. What a great testimony. And then Paul tells us that they were growing in two areas, faith and love. These are two essential areas for growth and development, for the growth and development of the children of God. You cannot just only grow in faith, because you become, as more and more you grow in faith, you become more legalistic, and there is no grace, and there is no hope in your faith. And if you just grow in love, then there's, with no faith, then you just become self-indulging. You just want to indulge yourself in everything, and there's no faith in anything you do. So these two need always to be hand in hand, working together in order for the children of God to grow. We need to understand that God desires growth in us more than we desire it in ourselves. And he desires it because he knows that growth leads to a higher, stronger, and richer degree of relationship between himself and us. That is what we were created for. We were created to be in relationship with God. And God desires this growth in us. We were created to be in relationship with Him. So He wants us to grow, because as we grow, the relationship becomes richer, more full, and God is able then to do more in us and through us. God is able to do more in us and through us when we grow, because then we know more of whom He is. And if we know more of who He is, we know more of what He wants. This is a question people always ask. What does God want from me? And if we want to know the answer to that question, we need to grow in our relationship to God, with God. If we are growing, we know more of His power, more of His direction. And so for all of this to happen, growth is a requirement. We see this again reflected in the second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. They are being transformed into the likeness of God. They are growing until they are identical or being a copy of who Christ is. Annabelle and I sometimes have this conversation, how scary our kids, our children, I don't know, all the parents here, like you see yourself in your children, yeah? So the other day, Yara was in our bedroom playing, and suddenly I hear Annabelle scream, and Yara cry, and we have a radiator, you know, for the heater that has, you know, water in it, and when the water heats up, the radiator heats up and heats up the room. So what had happened, there's this little screw on the side that you open it to let the air out and make sure that the radiator is full of water. And she is very, very curious, Yara. She's always touching stuff and licking stuff. So she went to this radiator thing, and she opened it, and water shot out and filled the floor, and the carpet was wet, and Annabelle screamed, and I ran. So, but I laughed, because that's exactly what I did when I was a little boy. Exactly the same thing. The only difference that there was a guy fixing the radiator, and I opened it, and the water shot on his back, very cold water, and the guy just jumped because he thought he's like getting electrocuted or something. You know, he just like jumped almost 3 feet up in the air, and yelled at me. So it's just scary how, you know, our children. Same thing Annabelle tells me about Mia. When she does something, she says, oh, I did exactly the same thing. I can't punish her for that. So this is what's happening, you know. We are being asked that we are being transformed into His likeness. We are growing to be more and more like Christ. And then in the beginning of the verse, he says, and we who with unveiled faces are all reflect the Lord's glory. Now, the unveiled part, faces, refers back to Moses, yeah? And how when he came down from the mountain, what did he need to do? And after talking to God, you know, his face was radiating from the glory of God. He was in the presence of God, and he came down shining, and the people just got scared. And he says that he had to wear a veil on his face because the people were scared of the glory of God that was shining through him. There was something different about him just by being in close proximity to God. Yeah? And this was a temporary solution, because as time passed, I don't know how it is, that it was shiny or whatever it was, that glory of God, that effect of being so close to God faded away from, I don't think he walked the rest of the time in the desert with a veil on his face. But I think he took it off after a while. But then Paul says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. So we don't have to cover up, because the glory of God does not fade from the children of God, but the glory of God continues to increase more and more for the children of God that are growing in him. Wow, isn't that an amazing thing? We do not have to hide that glory, or we do not have to cover it. And not only that, it's something increasing. We reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. With all unveiled faces, more and more of the glory of God is being revealed in us. And that is God's plan for all of us this day, this week, this month, and for the rest of the year, the rest of our time on this earth, to be transformed into his likeness for his glory and honor. Do we want to grow? Do we want to grow? Now, like me, if your answer to this question is yes, then what you need to do next is very, very simple. Just go to your yard. If you don't have a garden, go to any public area. Just dig about a feet of ground. Stand in that hole and cover up yourself. Give some water, and then you'll grow. This actually happened. A friend of mine told his 4.5-year-old son. His son said, "Oh, Papi, I want to be tall like you." He said, "Well, it's very easy. You just go out, and you have to dig a hole and stand in it and put some water, and you'll grow." He regretted saying that because the next day they found mud all over the house, you know. The son had actually done that, and he went out, and he stood in mud and water hoping to grow. So, where did I go? See, that's why I print everything in large font. So, if the answer is yes, then you would come to the logical question, of course: how do I grow? How can I or we accomplish this growth? Now, as I thought more and more about this, these two things kept coming back to my mind, and I kept dismissing them because they were too simple. You know, you want to stand here in front of all these people and just, you don't want to give something simple, you know, you want to keep like this deep theological insight that will, you know, change their lives, you know. But this is what I came up with. Well, this is what God gave me, actually. Simple things, and maybe growth is not happening because I dismissed them and because many of us dismissed them too. The first one was simply to commit. Or maybe as a man, we don't like this word, you know, commitment is something that, although I'm married now and I'm committed, so my wife is here. So. So we need a commit to growth through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In any serious relationship, there's always a commitment. Sorry to tell if there's anyone here who's single and thinking about a serious relationship, you have to commit. And we need to have a commitment to God in order to grow in the knowledge of God. We can implement this commitment through the tools that God himself provided for us. We don't have to go dig a hole somewhere. God gave us already the answer. You need to pray, you need to spend time in Scripture, and you need to serve one another. These are the three things that God is asking from us in order to grow us. And they're not very hard. We need to be in Scripture, we need to pray, and we need to serve one another. I don't write the word ministry because whenever you say ministry, people always think about like pastoring, or it doesn't have to be that complicated. You can just do whatever you can to serve someone else. If we are not in the Word, if we are not praying and not serving one another in any way, then there is something missing in our growth. There is something hindering our growth. Now, I'm not saying we are not Christians or we are not believers or we're not born again. I'm just simply saying there is something missing in the relationship with God. You are not realizing your full potential. You are not allowing the Spirit of God to access you. So you need to be in the Word. You need to pray. And you need to serve. The second point is routine examination. Something else we don't like. Who likes to go to the doctor to do their checkups? We don't like it physically, and we certainly don't like it spiritually. We do not like to do routine examinations. Now, even though doctors say, well, at least once a year, do a checkup. So we are still at the beginning of the year, so maybe this is your chance, you know, before December, January finishes, just try and to do a spiritual exam. Most people, including myself, keep pushing and pushing their bodies without thinking of the needs of the body or taking precautions to make their bodies stronger. Yeah, we don't exercise enough, we eat unhealthy, and we just keep working and working until we have no more energy or until we're sick. And we do the same thing spiritually. We keep pushing ourselves and pushing ourselves and pushing ourselves until we get a burnout or until we say, this is enough, I don't want to go to church anymore, I don't want any of this. But Paul is telling us to examine ourselves. And he says in Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith, in the faith, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And this is something I wish nobody would fail the test. But this is something we do need to have in order to see if there is growth in our spiritual life with God. We need to know where we are at. Are we flatlining? Are we declining? Or are we on an upward journey with Him? So these are the things that I thought of, two simple things that we can do to determine our growth, or that will help us to grow. First is to commit to a relationship with God and be committed to that relationship. And the second thing, to do a spiritual exam, to examine yourself, examine your heart. Where are you at? So if these are the things that are hindering our growth, what are the things that are, sorry, with these are the things that are providing growth. I went ahead of myself. So these are the things that are providing growth. What are things that are hindering growth? And again, I wanted something fancy and, you know, with more than three letters. And I couldn't come up, well, I could, but this is what the core of it is. Sin. Sunday school answer, yeah? Sin, three letters. Sin is the number one thing that hinders our growth as Christians. Now, I'm not talking here about like blatant mass murder, you know, sin, you know, because we do kind of in human perspective, like we think of sin in different degrees, you know, this is really a bad sin, this is just a small sin, it's not so bad. But no. I'm not talking about horrific sins. And most Christians don't fall or do these horrific sins. At least, I hope none of you are doing them. So, are there any mass murderers here? Okay, good. But most Christians fall into which, what most Christians fall into, which hinders their growth, are the old habits, the old ways of life. And the scripture tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vines, the little things, the little habits, the attitudes, the responses that are contrary to the nature of God, that are a part of our old life and that we can't quite get rid of. God wants us to surrender those to Him because only He can deal with them. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried dealing with my old habits and changing myself with my own power. It does not work. The only thing it led me to is being more angry and being more frustrated until I got smart and I realized I just simply need God's help to help me get rid of the anger, the resentment, the jealousy, whatever name you want to give it. It hinders and impedes our growth, and we simply need to let it go. There are many little things that are just lying under the surface. The exam that we ought to take will reveal these things, and then we can give them up to the Lord. It is like taking weeds out of your garden. Your vegetables will grow much better once you have given them the room they need to grow. Self-examination is the most difficult thing for me to do. I think it's also for most people, self-evaluation is not an easy thing and does not come naturally. Am I right? Who likes to just sit there and evaluate themselves? Maybe sometimes we focus on the negative and we don't focus on the, you know, on the positive, or maybe we simply don't do it because we don't like you. Like the most difficult question for me when I was at college or school was, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses and how are you developing yourself or improving yourself or developing yourself? Who likes that question? It's not an easy question. Now, if you tell me to evaluate Yoni, oh, I can go on. You know what I mean? It's easy for us to develop, like to examine everybody else. What is this person's strength and what are their weaknesses? So we might find one strength and 10 weaknesses. And how can they better improve themselves? Well, I'll tell them, you know, a few tips, how can they get themselves better. But when it comes to us, it's not something that's natural. This is why Paul is asking us to examine ourselves. Paul knows that the changes that God is doing in us are not always recognizable. He's not doing it that we go into this journey of guilt, you know, and shaming ourselves. It's actually a healthy exercise, because then we know our weaknesses, but also we realize when we sit down and look at ourselves, we see how actually we've improved and how, you know, if we do an honest examination, you know what I mean? So if we are honest to ourselves, then we see how God is actually growing us in different areas. So whenever I need to do an exam like this, I just ask my wife and she tells me all the things. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, I'm being mean to her today. No, she doesn't. She's very, very, very supportive and very kind to me. So, but Paul knows that the changes that God is doing in us are not always recognizable. And so we become unaware of the growth that has taken place in us. Has any one of you like realized that one point in their life, like there was something they've been trying to change very hard and suddenly they're not doing it anymore, or you know, they've realized later on that this, or somebody had told them suddenly, oh, you're not doing this anymore, or you've changed in this way, and then like a light bulb lit up in your head, oh yeah, that's right, I did change, you know what I mean? So if we do these routine examinations, we don't have to wait so long until we get this confirmation of change in us. That is why I think, I would say Paul wrote to the Thessaloniki, the people in Thessaloniki, telling them about the growth in faith and love. And like any Christian today, they were probably shocked because they did not recognize that growth in them. You know, we need that. We need to tell people if we see something has changed in them, and we also need always to examine ourselves. Just tell people always the positive things, please, okay? It's very good. It's very encouraging when you go and tell someone that you've felt a change in their lives. We don't recognize the growth, but if we are a child of God, and if we are in the center of His will, if you are committing yourself to growth and walking in the light of God, know that God is growing you. every day into the person He has intended you to be. I was very encouraged by what Yoni and his family shared, and I was encouraged to see the growth in the lives of his children and what they shared. Isn't that amazing? Wasn't that amazing? An amazing service. And it's amazing to see that growth in the lives of people. It's also good to see it in our own lives. Josiah, at 8 years of old, 8 years old, had no idea what God was going to do through him. But God was growing him, and he had no idea. At the age of 12, he began to destroy the pagan temples and remove all the idols of the high places that his father and grandfather had built. God was growing him, and he had no idea. When he started to restore the temple of God, and when he found the word of God and they began to read it to him, he had no idea how God will use him to impact the entire nation of Israel. God was growing him and using him. If you are a child of God, and if you are desiring His love to manifest in you, that God is growing you every day. This is called grace. It is free for everyone. It is His grace that is working in our life, changing us, transforming us, making us like Christ. We seek growth in everything. If one of our daughters are not they're not growing well, or they're not developing well, we wonder, why is that not happening? And we take them to doctors and we get them checked. If something is happening in our professional life, at work, we're not moving, we're always at the same place, we wonder, because we want to improve. If something is happening with our finances, we wonder, we want to have better finances. If we always try to improve ourselves by getting a better education, we do all these things in all these different areas of our lives, but we always forget about the spiritual side of our lives, our spiritual life. There, it's okay to stay flatlined for many, many years. There, it's okay not to have growth. Why is that? If it's unhealthy in the lives of children, if it's unhealthy in our lives, if it's unhealthy in the life of the plants that we have in the corner that we haven't watered for a week, it's definitely unhealthy for our spiritual life. And we need to grow. We need to commit ourselves to that relationship with God. If we are not communicating with our spouses or with our girlfriends or with our parents for a long period of time, there's something wrong. These are simple facts that we always miss, maybe because they're too simple and we dismiss them. Like I was dismissive of committing and routine examinations. But these are things that we simply have to do it in order to grow in that relationship with God, who wants us to realize in Him our full potential as His children, as His sons and daughters. He wants to grow us, to use us for our own benefit, for our own personal benefit, first of all, because that draws us closer to Him, but then also for the benefits for the benefit of everyone around us, because as we grow, we become better parents, we become better sons, we become better daughters, we become better teachers, we become better everything to the people we are impacting. So, at the end of my sermon, or my message this morning, I encourage you to grow. 2017 is still at the beginning, so maybe, I don't know if you're a person who puts, I stopped putting, New Year's resolution for a very, very long time because I never go through with them. No, I'm just kidding. One of them is actually to lose weight, so I've been working on that for the last 10 years. No, but this could be something to aim for. I want to have a growing relationship with my Lord and with my Savior. I want to routinely examine myself and see where I'm at in my spiritual life with Him. And I want to be better. Amen. God bless you.